You know, I was just singing that last part of that song. That's a pretty sad song. And if there's a song that is applicable to be played about 3 seconds after the rapture, it'll be that one. Almost persuaded, doom come at last. Almost persuaded, cannot avail. Almost is but to feel sad, sad, the bitter wail. Boy, oh boy, what a bitter wail. What a time that'll be, right? Praise God, we'll be gone. We'll be gone. All right, let's turn over to, a couple things real quick. Pastor had a bunch of these flyers printed up. How many, Liz? A couple thousand? 3,000? And Brother Haas is, it's a blessing. He's offered to put them in the papers that he delivers. So you can pray for this. And basically it's an invitation to our church here with a bunch of Bible verses on it. So it's going over, up to Elk River and east of there in that area, right? And then he's also handing out about equal amount from Elk River westward. So Elk River's dividing line. Steve cannot come down here and get our people. No. But 169 is it. So anyway, seriously, pray for this. There's going to be literally thousands of these going out in people's homes this week and a couple weeks ahead probably. So please be in prayer about that. You just never know who's searching, who's looking. All right, let's turn over to Book of Psalms this evening. And we're going to go over a few things here tonight. And kind of a mix of a couple of different things. But I'll see how it goes. Let's go to the Lord first in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you that we have a place to come in the middle of the week. Thank you for this body of believers that is desirous to hear something from you. And Lord, I certainly pray that they would tonight. I pray that you'd speak to their hearts and deal with us as you see fit. And Lord, pray for Pastor, help him to recover, and especially, Lord, just help him to get some sleep, and that would be work miracles for him. And pray that you'd be with him. Thank you for all the love and prayers from people literally all over the country and outside the country as well. And we are appreciative of that, and we're grateful to be in your family, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Carlson from Winnipeg called today, and he had just found out through Brother Gip about Pastor, so he said that he and his church be praying for him, so that's a blessing. One other thing along that line is the date for that is, I believe, July 21st, probably right in there, 25th. And Lord willing, if it works out, the youth will be going up there, and whoever wants to go, Brother Carlson every year has a camp meeting. And it starts on Wednesday, runs through Sunday night. And you can camp on his church grounds. You can stay in a hotel. I guess you can sleep in your car if you want. Or there's families there that will put you up for that time. And so it can be a very inexpensive time to go and hear some good preaching. Obviously, we need a passport or some form of a, what's the other card? Some other identification, new identification need to get over the border now. But it's a blessing. We went there. Teens have been there about three or four years ago, and we were there about 3 years ago. So it's a good time of preaching. Brother Gip is the main speaker, and he's going to have a couple more as well. So, all right, Psalms chapter 1. Let's see here. Let's see which way I should go. We'll go this way. All right. First verse there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And we're going to go over a few verses in Psalm chapter 1 here and just study them all a little bit more thoroughly. And that verse there says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We as Christians obviously need to be concerned about where we walk and what we do. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 4 if you would. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. Keep your finger in Psalms, be there most of the night, about 9:30 or 10. It says, Proverbs 4, verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder thy path to thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And at verse, beginning of the very first part of that first verse, first through that verse is, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And people, we need to watch, like in Proverbs here it says, look, let our eyes go straight on, let our eyes go straight before us, let our eyelids look straight ahead, and ponder the paths of our feet. In other words, we get down, maybe we get into some sin, or we get down a path where we're uncertain of, we need to stop and think about where we were, right? And consider that and think about it and line it up with God's Word. Line up with God's Word. Let's go back to Psalm 1. It walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And boy, there's a lot of ungodly counsel out there, isn't there? And you know what the key to, well, one of the keys to Christian life and having a victorious Christian life and a fruitful Christian life is seeking the right counsel. You know, if you're going about to do something and in your heart you know that it's wrong, you can find somebody that will agree with you. And it's human nature when there's a group of people together that the whole group generally tends to sink down to the lowest common denominator. You look at a group of 5 or 10 adults, you look at 5 or 10 kids at camp, well, you name it, the tendency isn't upward, the tendency is downward. And you know, we can avoid that by seeking good counsel and trying to obviously be in God's Word, but then if we do have a question about something, look to somebody that's better than you. Look to somebody that's more spiritually minded than you and line up and ask them for advice. Don't go to somebody who knows that you know that you will say yes to what the sin you want to partake in. The walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. We don't need to be anywhere near where sinners are. Let me find a reference real quick here. In the way of sinners. Don't tempt yourself. Stay away from it. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:12, it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Sometimes we see things or we spend too much time talking about us older people, maybe things we did in the old days, that sort of thing. God doesn't get any glory in that. The Bible says that there's a shame to even speak of those things that people do in secret. Don't talk about them. Don't let the thoughts roll through your mind. Just be away with it. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And there's a lot of people that, not a lot of people, but there's some people that are scornful. They have a bad attitude. A bad attitude about God and about spiritual things. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. So verse 1, that is basically phase one. That's how to survive the Christian life. That's how to be a mediocre Christian. But verse 2, it says, as a transition, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the key point there. Verse 1 is, you know, you're not supposed to, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, don't stand around them, don't sit in a seat of scornful. Don't do those things. Now, you can stay away from those things, but that's still not God's full purpose. It's still not God's full purpose is just stop doing the bad things. He wants to start doing the good things. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, you can survive by the verse 1, but you can only prosper by verse 2. And the question to ask ourselves is, do we delight in the law of the Lord? And what the psalmist is talking about there is the first 5 books of the Bible. And we have far more than the first 5 books of the Bible, right? And we have promises of heaven, promises of eternal life, promises of a victorious Christian life. We have all sorts of guidance within there. We have far more than just the first 5 books of the Bible. But we are to delight in the laws of the Lord. Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So it's still talking about the man that delights in the law of the Lord. Well, what is this man going to be like? This man who delights in the law of the Lord, who is in the Scriptures, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. There's some unique things about trees. Obviously, they give oxygen, they give life. We as Christians with our tongue, we're supposed to give life. We're supposed to give life to a lost and dying world. A tree will bear fruit despite its surroundings. If you have a tree and it's out in the middle of in theory, it could be out in the middle of a desert, it could be surrounded by all kinds of garbage, but if its root system is good, and if it can get the nutrients out of that ground, it can bear fruit no matter what's around it. And that's like us as Christians. If our root system is grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're walking with Him, we'll be able to bear fruit no matter what's around us. And that's a good example of how we would be like trees. But we need the right nourishment. People's attention is drawn to the trees. They're a beautiful thing. Most important part of the tree is something that you never see. I already touched on already, but you never see the roots. Without those roots, that tree is going to die. And you know what? The most important thing you have in your life, your soul and your spirit, people never see. They never see. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And there's things that you'll do for the Lord Jesus Christ in this life nobody's going to know about. The decisions you make in your heart as you lay in bed at night, different things that, temptations that you resist, different things that you do for the Lord, nobody ever will know, most of them, right? And that's the part that those things are the most meaningful. And just like a tree, nobody ever sees those roots, right? But they're essential for the tree. Without that, without those roots, it's just a dead log. That's all it is. The tree is most beautiful in death. You can look at a tree, and yes, it's beautiful. It gives shade, gives life. But you know what? You take that old tree and you cut it up, make some nice boards out of it, put it in a gun stock, a nice piece of walnut with some checkering on it, right? But anyway, trees are beautiful in death, and when we go on to heaven, the Lord will get the glory in that. The Lord will get the glory in that. Psalm 1:4 says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It always amazes me, and I know you've all noticed this as well, you're reading through Proverbs, especially in Psalms as well, but the transition that's there between the godly and the ungodly. And it just is black and white issues can be. Wicked have no place, they have no purpose, they have no reward, they have no prosperity. The only thing any person that's lost, the only thing that they have, and somebody once said, you've heard it many times, this is as close to heaven as they're ever going to get. And this is as close to hell as we're ever going to get. We're totally, completely opposite from each other. It's a blessing to see what God has in store for us, though. Psalm 1:6 says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly should perish. God knows our ways. It is not vain that we serve God. Do you want to perish? Do we as Christians want to perish? Do you want to start straying over and straying away from the Lord and have our be lumped in with the ungodly? I don't think so. All right, so that's just the first few verses here, but what I want to do is go back to verse 1 to spend a little time on that phrase that said, blessed is the man. And blessed is the man shows up a few times in the Bible. I got looking up a while back, and it's kind of interesting. The word blessed means to make one happy or prosperous, a gift of divine favor. It's not luck. I have a relative of mine, he means well, but I'll be mentioning something the way something's happening. He goes, well, you sure got lucky. I said, no, it wasn't lucky. God blessed us. And then if I say that, they think, oh, you just think because you're doing good, you deserve the blessing. It's no, I don't deserve it. That's why it's a blessing, But, but the things we get in life, they're blessings, a gift of divine favor. It's not luck. And what are people chasing this world? What they're chasing around is trying to be happy and prosperous, health. They're trying to get something for nothing. They're trying to get something in this world. They're trying to get blessings without going to the Father in heaven who is the only one that can bless them. Let's turn over to, let's wait a little second here. I mean, who wouldn't want to be blessed, right? And we're going to study this out a little bit tonight. And, just like you're standing in line at the airport and you're weaving your way through security, I mean, who wouldn't want somebody to come up and say, hey, come on over. Right through there and get you on one of those little carts and zip you up there and get you up to first class and just lay back and know, that'd be kind of nice. I mean, it never happens, but it'd be kind of nice, right? But who wouldn't appreciate that sort of thing? Once in a while, little things happen, but you know, the true blessings come from the Lord. And if we have our perspective right on things, we'll be more thankful for those and have a have a better perspective of them. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed by God and not by this world. I don't want to get through my life and like that old stupid Frank Sinatra, a little before my time, but anyway, he said, "I did it my way," you know. I don't know how the song goes, but whatever it does. But basically the theme of it is, I've accomplished all these things and I did it my way. And he's burning in hell. He did it his way, all right. Hope he's happy. But I don't want that. And I'm sure you don't want that. We want to do it God's way. So that someday we'll stand before the Lord and say, "Well done, that good and faithful servant." Do you want to be blessed by the world or do you want to be blessed by God? Let's take a look at some ways here where how we can be blessed by God. The first one, obviously, is in Psalm 32:2. When you get there, I'll show you why it's obvious. It says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." First way to be blessed, it's a blessing to be saved. It's a blessing to never have to think about where you go when you die, and never laying in bed and having that nagging thought or having that guilty conscience all the time. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be saved. And you know, that's just the first point there. What could be worse? I mean, think of, you know, I mentioned it Sunday, so I won't go over it, but just think of what it was like when you were lost. What a horrid thing. No purpose. You know, nothing to serve worthwhile. And then once you found out about the scriptures, you realize that you deserved hell. But what a blessing is to go to sleep and have a clear conscience. Let's turn over to Psalm 112, verse 1. I didn't spend too much time there. I assume most everyone here is saved tonight. And some of that we talked about Sunday night, so as far as being blessed of God and a great is to be saved. Psalm 112, verse 1. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." And, you know, we can talk, the Bible has dozens of verses about fearing God and how we need to fear the Lord. And every time, you know, a lot of times in new Bibles, they'll change that fear to reverence. And whenever the Bible uses, I mean, God knows the difference between fear and reverence. And the Bible does use the word reverence, but it's always man to man, right? Never man to God. But then the people, the devil, want to bring God down so that he's on our level. Well, God's not on our level, right? His ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. But it says, blessed is the man. Let's see here. "Praise ye, Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments." So how do you fear God? What are some of the signs of fearing the Lord? First off, you believe his book. You believe his book, but you also show submission and respect to him, right, by obeying what he says in his book. And the point is that you'll fear something. We all have an element within us that will fear something. We'll either fear man, or we'll fear God, or we'll fear a combination of both of them, right? One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 29:25. It says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." I like running that through my mind just when I'm going up to the doorstep or something like that. But the fear of the Lord bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. All right, what's another one here? We got the fear of the Lord. That's a way to be blessed of God, is fearing the Lord properly. Let's turn to Proverbs 8:34. Proverbs 8:34. It says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. So how do we hear God? How do we hear God? We hear God, obviously, by preaching, by reading, by praying. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me. One way you ought to, you know, get the Lord's blessing is to obviously read his book. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book and read. And it's mentioned several times tonight before we started about pastor and his diligence in the ministry and that sort of thing. And it's true. And I just told my wife, and I were talking about that before he came tonight. And thankful to have been under him for all these years. But you know what? Because he is the way he is, then that means that more is required of us, right? And to whom much is given, much is required. Nobody has any excuse at the judgment seat of Christ. Nobody. But people, we certainly do not. We, out of all the people, literally out of the top 1% of all the Christians in the country, we have no excuse but to serve the Lord. We have no excuse to be ignorant. We have no excuse to be lazy. We have no excuse saying, well, I just didn't understand. I didn't. No. I'm not saying nobody has an excuse, but we certainly do not have an excuse. And he said, to whom much is given, much is required. So we need to think about that and use what God's given us. Use the tools that God's given us. Where was I? All right, so we have, blessed is man that heareth me. We need to have a desire to hear from God. And I used this illustration before, but you know, I go overseas and love my family, love my wife, and I'm glad for technology. Well, first of all, I'm really glad for technology that I don't have to spend three or four days riding to the coast and then 3 weeks on boat, and you know, 4 months later I'm over there. I like hopping on a plane and being there within a few hours. But the other thing is I like picking up that phone, calling home and hearing my wife's voice, my kid's voice. And, you know, they send little notes with, and I open them, I get over there, and I open them up, read them, and that sort of thing. But what if they sent me, oh, I got some notes I put in your Bible for you. And I get home, and the envelope's still sealed. I've never called. It'd be kind of strange, wouldn't it? Might have a little cool reception at the airport. I mean, something's wrong here. Why didn't I open up those notes? Why didn't I call, you know? And that's what we can get that way with God. You know, how often do we go, and we're all guilty of it, go some time for too long without getting into his word, too long without just kind of meditating on his thoughts. And the thing is, it's not, sometimes it's a matter of not only doing it, but do we desire to do it? When we sit down to read, do we desire it? When driving down the road in a car, you know, do we desire to just kind of pray a little bit in our heart to God? You know, how often do we reach out to him? Blessed is a man that heareth me. If we want to be blessed by God, I don't think anybody in this room does not want to be blessed by God. We certainly don't want to be cursed by God. We certainly don't want to be set on a shelf by God. We need to hear from him. And you know what? He's always willing to talk. We need to do the listening. We need to be the listening. You know, back in the communist days overseas in Russia and that, those guys would, people would copy out at the risk of being beaten. They'd spend months and months, 6 months sometimes, copying out the scriptures. And the Word of God was very precious to them. And even today in some of those countries, you don't put the Bible underneath the seat. You don't put on the Bible, never sits on the floor. And when it's time to read, everyone stands. When it's time to pray, everyone stands. You know, not all the countries, a lot of them are like that. Why? Because of respect and reverence for God's Word. And that's a blessing. Those people, a lot of them, it's true in all sorts of countries, Philippines, all over, where, you know, those people, those natives will walk for hours sometimes to get to church. And why? Because they want to hear something from God. And we're spoiled in this country. We can get on the internet and click on thousands of sermons. We have more Bibles in our house than we have Tupperware. I mean, just, we got the Word of God is everywhere in this country. And, you know, we have no excuse. We're spoiled. That's what we are. We're spoiled. The next thing we need to do is, over in Psalms 34:8, there's a few verses. Psalm 34, Verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You have to turn there. But Psalm 80, I think it's 80, I can't read my writing here. 89.5 must be. Is blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them. Basically, blessed is the man who trusts in God. Well, our faith and trust. And that's a hard thing to get a hold of. And I've been guilty of that the last few days myself, all the time. It's been a couple of years or more since I've had to do an estimate for work. And if I didn't get that job, I'd have no work lined up. And it's been a couple of years or more. God's been very good at providing that. But all of a sudden now it's in that situation. And, you basically are unemployed after a few days. Well, okay, Lord's testing my faith, I guess. In some ways I failed. I need to put my faith in Him and put my trust in Him. But it's against our human nature. I don't know how many of you guys drive all the time. A lot of times, sometimes, I know some guys, their wives drive a lot, but mine usually doesn't. If I'm in a car, if I'm not incoherent and deathly sick and sleeping, I'd rather be driving, you know. And so I'm not used to riding in the right side of the car. You know, maybe if it was in England, I would be, but I'm just not used to sitting over there. And it's not that I don't trust my wife driving. I'm just not used to it. And sometimes I'll just be dozing off, and the car will move a little bit. It's like, you know, I'll wake up. And it's not that I don't trust her. I'm just not used to it. And that's us with God, is we just got to get used to trusting God, used to putting all our faith and trust in Him if we want to be blessed by Him. And it's sad to say that we don't do that as much as we should. We need to work on that and be better at that. Let's see. So we got our faith and trust. And let's go on to the next one here. Psalm 94:12. Psalm 94:12. Said, blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. And let's read, go over to Hebrews chapter 12. I know it's a lot of kind of, well, we'll get to that in a second. Hebrews 12, verse 6. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he that whom the Father chasteneth not? And, you know, that's what the Lord, when your conscience gets so seared that you can do the things that you used to do and have your conscience pricked, and all of a sudden it doesn't bother you anymore, watch out. Because the Lord's not chastening you. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Right? And that's part of the Christian life, is being chastened. And I know we all probably have this desire, but boy, I want to not be chastened real hard. I'd rather have the goodness of God lead me to repentance than to get myself in a predicament, get myself, my family out on a limb somewhere, away from God and out of church, and then have the Lord chasten me in some severe way. And then it comes back to me saying, it was my fault. It was my lack of judgment. It was my laziness. And that led myself and my family down this path. I don't want that. I don't want that. But you know what? The Lord will chasten us. And the thing is, when we go through things, it's not a matter. I mean, it's good to ask yourself, Lord, is this, you know, something I've done? Or that's, or, you know, that's always good to ask. But especially it's good to ask, is what, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? Because we can be just a pure result of other people's sin sometimes. Right? And or things just happen for who knows why. But here we are, we're in this particular situation. Lord, what do you want me to learn from it? Even if it's none of my doing, even if it wasn't any chastening that God's trying to do to me, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this? And I mentioned before, but I've seen so many people go through things and just grit their teeth and endure, and they haven't learned anything. That's not God's intention. When you train up your children, you train them and you discipline them so they learn something. Because you don't want to discipline them on the same thing tomorrow, right? And that's God's no different. And but we need to receive that chastening. We need to realize that these things come from God. As parents, we need to pray to God for wisdom to raise up our family, raise up our kids right. And it's a tremendous responsibility. And I heard somebody say a long time ago, and it's so true, you either spend time with them when they're little, or you spend more time with them when they're old. It might be in a detention center, might be who knows where, but spend the time necessary with them when they're young. And you don't have to spend as much time, non-quality time, with them when they're old. They can be a joy and a blessing to you. And that's a lot of truth to that. A couple other things. Psalm 65, verse 4. Psalm 65, verse 4. It said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and it causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Basically, God has chosen that man for some type of service. You know what's a blessing? It's a blessing to be used of God in some way. And it doesn't have to be anything big or extravagant. Just, I mentioned this Sunday a little bit, but just opening your mouth to somebody at work, just saying something, but then you realize afterwards, oh, the Lord actually used that. The Lord actually used these stumbling, bumbling lips to bring Him some glory. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to be used of God. You know, you can be used of the devil in outright sin and wickedness, or it can be used of this world, and people are used, you know, the world uses people all the time, and they chase after all the pleasures of this world and all the vanity of this world. What does it matter? It doesn't matter anything in the end, right? Let's turn over to Psalm 84, verse 5. Psalm 84, verse 5. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. A man is blessed who realizes that the Lord is his strength. It's not in his intelligence. It's not in his physical strength. It's not in anything like that. And his strength is in the Lord. There's an element, obviously, of humbleness to that. He knows where his strength lies, not in himself. Samson was a strong man, but he was incredibly weak in the Lord, right? His strength was in himself. He had no strength in the Lord. And he went through his whole life. There's nothing. A man didn't have a spiritual bone in his body. Everything was for himself. And his last words were, let me die with the Philistines. That's a whole sermon in itself there. Let me die with the Philistines. You know what? As Christians, we don't want our last words to be, oh, let me die with this world. Let me die with this world. I'm fine. As they exhale. You don't want that. You want to die with the Philistines. You don't want to die in this world. Rely on the Lord for our strength. He is strong. A spiritual man is strong because he puts his faith and trust in the Lord. And God gives him a spiritual confidence and power. All right. Let's turn over to James 1:12. You know, it's pretty basic tonight, but we all have to be reminded of the basic things. And I'll give you a little illustration of what happened to me yesterday. It's kind of funny in hindsight. Brian, my nephew, and I were putting in doors in a house and pulling out all the flat, plain doors and putting in these heavy raised panel oak doors. And he's working on one, I'm working on another one. And the other, we got some tricks of doing it pretty quick. And we put the door in, and if it doesn't close real nice, you close it all the way and it gets to the end, and sometimes there's a little resistance. You watch the hinges. And if the hinges tweak a little bit, oh, okay, that hinge is the problem. Then the jam is twisted a little bit, so you shim it and shoot another nail or take the saws all out. Or, you know, hopefully you don't get the saws all out. But you keep messing with it. Well, no matter what I did, I close this door, and I'm looking at the hinges, and it's like, they're fine. I saws all them out, re-shim it, mess with it, screw it back in. What's wrong with this thing? I said, Brian, come here. I said, am I blind or what? He comes over, he looks down. The carpet. he was hitting. There's a wad of carpet from the the bathroom. And on the hallway side, there's a nice big chunk of carpet about this big hitting in the corner of the jam. And, yeah, no wonder it's kind of hard there. He says, the only reason I know is because I had that happen to me at the other job. So should have called him over earlier. We should have done different doors, you know, but made me feel like an idiot. But it was the basic things that will burn us sometimes, just like in a Christian life. You know, we need to be reminded of this, the basics of the Christian life. Going back to us a little bit here, talking about the Word of God, just a couple of verses I want to read to you. I'm kind of going back to one of my other points here. I just found this here. It says, I will delight in my statutes. I will not forget thy word. This is my comfort and my affliction, for the word hath quickened me. Obviously made me alive. Psalm 119:101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. And this is a real popular one. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And are we as Christians, are we using that light? Are we using God's light? Because you know what? Satan has a light too, doesn't he? 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So sometimes it can be real deceiving of what we're following, but the devil himself is called an angel of light as well. So you need to be on guard. But James 1:12. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So we'll get a crown of life for enduring temptation. Let's turn over to, let's see, Revelation 2, verse 10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So here you got somebody during the tribulation that's enduring, and they're basically dying for the Lord, and they get a crown of life. Somebody who's enduring temptation is also getting a crown of life. Now, I don't know how much of an enduring temptation that is. And I don't think it's anything as extreme as even what Joseph went through in the Old Testament there, where he had to just flee that lustful woman. It can be a very small thing. It can be just being tempted on something fairly small, it's still sin, and just averting your eyes or walking away or changing the subject of your mind or whatever it is. That's still enduring temptation. Well, do we get a crown for that? What if when we get to heaven, he takes us up to this room and there's just tens of thousands of crowns. They all got her name on it. But they're all behind like big crystal glass or something locked up. He says, where are all those? He says, well, those are the crowns you could have had. Those are all the temptations. But this little pile over here is yours. What a sad thing. What a sad thing if when we get to heaven, you know, we'll have the mind of Christ, and then for once we'll realize truly the holiness of God, truly the vanity of this world, truly what a great salvation that we have, the magnificence of God. All we'll want to do is to give Him the glory. And all we have is this little pile of crowns over here. We don't have much. We could have had all that. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter to us like it should down here. It will then. It'll matter then. You know, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Be too late to pray then. We don't need to, right? There won't be anything that you can do to resist. I mean, like now you can resist temptation and get a crown of life. It'll be too late then. We'll have the mind of Christ. Now is the time that we need to show God how much we love Him. Now is the time we need to do that. All right. So we talked about quite a few things here tonight. First off is salvation. Now, to be blessed of God is obviously to be saved. We talked about fearing God. And obviously that's one of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The importance of hearing from God, having fellowship with God. And I've used this illustration before, but, you know, somebody used it up here You know, if you're having good fellowship with somebody, we're not talking to them on the front row. I said, how was your day? How was your day at work, dear? How was your day? You know, did you have a good day? Yeah, I had a pretty good day. It was great. Good. You know, we're not in a nursing home or something, you know. You don't have to yell. You want to get close, right? Arm's length or closer, right, for an intimate fellowship. But how often do we hold God off at arm's length? We don't want to let him into our heart. We don't want to let him close to us. Well, that's fine. I'll go to church once in a while. I'll read the Bible and I'll do these things, but there's some areas where I'm not gonna bend the knee. I'm not gonna bend the knee like I should. So we need to hear God. We need to trust God. You know, don't be a Jacob. What did Jacob do his whole life? He's always conniving, always trying to figure something out, right? He's breeding those cattle, and I never have understood all that with all the different green streaked and red and all those different things, and you know, he's conniving, and boy, he was a conniver. It was amazing, amazing. And don't be a Jacob. He didn't really exercise ever any faith in God, really. We need not be like that. We need to accept the chastening. Realize that whatever situation we're in, we need to reflect on it and see what we can learn. See what we can learn. God, how do you want me to grow as a Christian from this? What would you like me to learn from it? And just be humble our hearts in that way. Enduring temptation. We just talked about that. But just doing what God wants us to do. And there isn't a person in here that doesn't know what to do, is what the right thing to do is. And obviously, the matter is us doing it. So there are just some real basic things tonight. Hope you got something out of it. And, you know, just keep plugging away. As I mentioned, Sunday night, it's, you know, we just need to sprint towards the finish here. We don't know how long it is, but there'll be nothing lost if we really sprint and do the best we can for God the next few months or years, and the Lord comes back in 10 years, it'll still be a great thing, right? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. That's a promise of God. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening, and Lord, thank you for helping my voice and everything to hold up. Thank you for these people coming out to hear from you, and thank you for a good pastor, Lord, that loves you and desires to preach your word. Thank you for your book. Lord, thank you for your patience with us. We mess up all the time, and we're none of us are all that we should be for you. Lord, I pray you'd help us be more like your dear son, less like ourselves. Help us be pleasing. Lord, pray you that we'd conduct ourselves in a way that you'd receive honor and glory. May you be with us the rest of this week and help us be a witness for you. And we just pray that you'd help Pastor, give him some good sleep, help him with a speedy recovery. Thank you, Lord, for the thoughtfulness of so many people praying for him all over the country, Lord. It's a blessing, and we thank you for that, the kindness and love that people show in time of need. And just pray that you'd bring us all back here on Sunday. Pray for the visitation on Saturday morning. Pray that a lot of people would come out for that, and pray for the church in St. Cloud as well. Lord, please bless the Caribous as they try to get something going there. Lord, we really pray that those flyers that are being handed out for both churches, that they'd fall in the hands of some people that would be seeking you. Pray that they'd bear fruit, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we'll did you have one, Jenny? Did you have one, Jeremy? Where's Jeremy? Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll sing one more in closing here. This one? 202.
close us in prayer tonight?